I'd like to backtrack a little to where we were last time. Karna had been killed. Duryodhana was shattered that his one hope of victory over Arjuna, and therefore winning the war over the Pandavas, had fallen apart. And there'd been a short, small counterattack by the Kauravas against the Pandavas. It was really to no effect. And then Salya, now with the empty chariot, Karna's empty chariot, to come over to him, said, "Let us go back. It's virtually sunset." And so they went back, very dejected, to the tent where the commanders and the princes would meet after the battle, the day's battle, to discuss it and so forth. And there was silence, there were some tears from Duryodhana. And then after quite a while, Duryodhana took his seat, and Kripa took the opportunity, Kripa, the brother-in-law of Drona, of saying to him, "Can we not now cease this battle? Can we not now make peace with Yudhishthira? He's compassionate. He will actually let you rule your part of the kingdom." And again, after a long silence, nothing was said. Duryodhana said to him, "I appreciate it that you've actually approached me as a friend. In other words, there's nothing untoward, nothing underhand that you've done in asking me this." But he said, "I find no favour with it. I don't agree with it." And he explained that Yudhishthira would never agree to a peace at this stage because he wouldn't trust Duryodhana because of the way that the dicing had been put together and the cheating had been put together, cheating of his kingdom. And he pointed out that Krishna and Arjuna, they certainly wouldn't agree to it because of the way that Draupadi had been handled, and also the way that Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna, had been killed. Six people killing him when he was without any weapons. And he said that Bhima certainly won't allow it. He won't forget his vow to kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. And finally he said, "I can't see myself, I refuse to walk behind Yudhishthira when it comes to ruling the kingdom of the Kurus." But what he did say was that that Draupadi was now carrying out penances to destroy him. She was sleeping on the floor. She had one meal a day. Subhadra, Krishna's sister, Arjuna's second wife, was looking after her like a nursemaid. So after that, there were some silences, and then there was a talk, as I explained before, and they appointed Salya, Uncle Salya, to be the commander-in-chief. But let's just go back very briefly and see what went wrong for the dicing. The kingdom had been split in a state of weakness. Dhritarashtra had given the Kandava track, which was really half the kingdom, pretty scruffy stuff. You know, it was arid land in effect to the Pandavas. But when Duryodhana got to hear of this, he persuaded that it wasn't in the interests of Dhritarashtra because that the Pandavas could take over the whole lot once they got power there, and it ought to be taken from them, and this could be done by a dicing match. And they'd have Shakuni, the card sharper, to act as the dice. Anyway, Dhritarashtra agreed to it. Yudhishthira, out of Dharma, it had come from the king himself, one of the elders, went to the dicing, and he lost everything. He gambled his kingdom, his riches, his wealth, and then he gambled his brothers. And they, in fact, became servants, slaves to the Kauravas, and then he gambled Draupadi. And Draupadi was lost. And when she was lost, Duryodhana sent a servant to the quarters, the ladies' quarters, and she was having her hair done by one of her maids, and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm afraid you are now a slave of the Kauravas. Your husband, Yudhishthira, has gone mad, he's gambled away his kingdom, and he's lost you, and you are now a slave of the Kauravas, and therefore I've come to take you into the Sabha, into the great hall, where you'll be given some menial work." She was pretty smart. She quickly said to him, Go back to the hall and ask, "Was I put forward as a bet before Yudhishthira was lost or after?" Because you see, if in fact Yudhishthira had given himself away and become a slave, he had no authority. He didn't own her anymore. Therefore, he couldn't put her as a stake. Well, the poor servant had to go back and tell them about this and asked the elders this question. And when he did so, it was put first to Bhishma. And Bhishma, for a long time, no one said anything. It was absolute dead silence. Everyone was so embarrassed about the whole situation. Bhishma said, I can't give you really an answer to this. The subtleties of Dharma in a situation like this is that I don't really know. And then he said, ask Yudhishthira. And when he said that, Duryodhana said, oh, bring her back here and she can ask Yudhishthira. And when he went there, Draupadi said, she said, well, go back to the elders and say, and she called them the moral-minded elders, and tell them that I will do anything that they want me to do. Say to Dhritarashtra. So the poor chap went back, head hung low, what a job, and said to Dhritarashtra what he'd been asked to say. Duryodhana lost patience, and he said to Dushasana, his immediate younger brother, bring her in, go and get her and bring her in here. So Dushasana went to the quarters, and there she was. He said, you have to come with me. She immediately started running for Gandhari, the old queen's quarters. But Dushasana caught her hair, and he pulled her, literally pulled her. She only had one garment on, remember? Pulled her hair into the hall, and there was tears and screeching and all this sort of stuff. Then she again asked the question, and no one could answer it. No one said anything. Anyway, Dushasana lost patience, and he started, remember, tugging at her sari to try and pull her off, to make her naked, because she was a servant. They could do whatever they wanted to her. And she invoked Krishna, first of all, hanging on to her sari, trying to stop it being pulled. She's being pulled, by Dushasana. And he pulled and pulled, and Krishna's power, he kept on pulling, remember, the sari and sari, and it piled up, and he began to sweat, and he got embarrassed. And in the end, he realized that nothing could be done about it. So anyway, after that, there was an embarrassed silence. No one said anything. And then finally, Dhritarashtra said, I'm stopping this. I'm scrapping it all. And he gave her two boons. One of the boons was, in fact, three boons, and she only took two, was to free her husbands and to free Yudhishthira. And then they were called again. The whole thing's to ban. Remember, they were called again. And the 13-year isolation came about. Going back and now to this situation, just before Karna and Arjuna fight, there's quite a battle between Bhima and Dushasana and the sons. About 20 sons of Duryodhana left. All the rest had been killed. 80 had been killed by Bhima. And actually, Dushasana had scored some quite arrow wounds into Bhima. Bhima had fainted for a short while. He slumped into his chariot and held the flagpole. But then he quickly revived, and he got up and said to him, in effect, to Dushasana, make hay while the sun shines. You may have wounded me now. Now is your death. And with that, he got hold of his mace, this enormous mace of his, eight-sided, made of metal, bound with a gold rope with a noose at the end, a bit like Yama's noose, and little bells. And he whirled it over his head, and he threw it at Dushasana. Dushasana, it hit him on the head. It knocked him about 20 paces away. And immediately, and Bhima did this quite often, two or three times, all his horses were knocked out, his chariot was knocked out, charioteer, he'd rush down, and he'd rush with his mace and really go immediately onto the attack. In this situation, he rushed down, picked up his mace, got over to Dushasana, and Dushasana was just coming round and getting up. He thumped him hard on the head again, knocked him down, and then kicked him over so that he was on his back. And when he was on his back, he grabbed his arm, and he pulled him further into the battlefield, and he took his sword out. And with the sword, he cut his arm, and he held the arm, he waved it, said, this is the arm that defiled the holy hair of Draupadi. It had been consecrated, the hair had. And when he'd done that, he again got hold of his sword. It had an ivory handle. He lifted it up. He crashed it down onto the chest of Dushasana. And Dushasana screamed in pain. He opened the chest and drank the blood, as he swore he would do, at the dicing. Well, at that, everyone scattered. I mean, Kana couldn't believe it. Kana saw this, and he thought, what is this, like an Asuric animal? There was blood everywhere. Blood was gushing out of the armpit, you know, the arm joint of Dushasana, and then the heart was hanging out of the body. God knows what. It was a real, real mess. But Bhima was delighted. He said, now he's dead at last. Draupadi has been avenged. Now it is only Duryodhana who's going to I have to kill. And a matter of hours later, Duryodhana would be writhing on the floor with crushed thighs, not far from death. Anyway, we'll have to see how that came about. So if you have been, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.